been enjoying visiting, and you folks beat me in here. I'm sorry. I think someone's trying to hold me up just to delay the service. We have people who talk to the preacher during the break. If I ever show up during the break, y'all just keep talking to me. I think you don't want to hear me preach. You just want to talk. Okay? Nah, just joking. Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Jeremiah 16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. Would you open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for today. John chapter 1, verse 14. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours now to open again this magnificent book and begin to read and realize that you have so much for us. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the fact that he was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth and become the flesh to dwell among us. And the scripture says we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only born from the Father, full of grace and truth. We bow to express our thanks today for the wonderful privileges which we have to open our minds to your word. We thank you for blessing us. We're the recipients of blessings every day, so many, and we thank you for it. We pray that you'll be with us in these moments of study, and we thank you for ever blessing again. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 1, verse 14. We're going to begin reading with verse 1 and read down through verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not that light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. The world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he right the power to become children of God, even to those that believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. There are many words that describe the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe one of the greatest words that we have that describes him is the one that's used here in John chapter 1. And that is the Word. Interesting enough, we use words every day. All of us use words every day. Words are used as a means of communication. When I stand here, read the scripture, and communicate God's word, what I'm doing is sending out some words. And the words are means of communication. I'm trying to get over a message. I'm trying to tell you something. I've tried to do that this morning in the first session, and now again. I was reminded, and I need to tell you, that we reminded you of the scripture in Psalm in relationship to the Hebrews 10:5 passage. If you read on in Psalms, you will discover all the information that I read from Hebrews chapter 10 is in Psalm chapter 40. So just look that up, if you will. I think you'll find it good. Words are means of communication. We've talked about this oftentimes, that the words are going through the airwaves. These words are hitting your ear, and that ear is an unusual part of your body that God has designed. Years ago, I studied the ear, the hammer, and the anvil, and the stirrup. Some of you remember those parts. But the major thing that I'm saying to you is that while I'm speaking right now, words are going through the airways, and they're hitting, and they're going into your thinking, and you're getting a message that I'm seeking to give to you. Jesus Christ is the greatest means of communication, and that's what this verse of Scripture is saying. It says, the Word, that's Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only born from the Father, full of grace and truth. The desire that I have, of course, is to exegete and to give you a lot of different aspects related to this verse. I'm not going to do that this morning, even though there is an interesting emphasis in this scripture where it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it says we beheld His glory, the glory of the only born from the Father. We have an interesting word there, and that is the Greek word monogenesis. The only one born of its kind is the meaning of that particular word. Jesus Christ is the only one born of its kind. There was no other person born like that. The reason for that is because Jesus Christ did not have an earthly father. He was not a most unusual individual. He didn't have an earthly father. The Holy Spirit brought about the virgin conception and the virgin birth. We all understand that. And so this is an emphasis upon the word hypostatic. And I reminded you in the previous session that the word hypostatic comes from two words. One part of the word is a preposition or a prefix, hupo, H-U-P-O. The second part of the word is stasis, which means to stand. And the preposition or prefix, it means under. So when you put the two words together, the contraction means one who stands under, or one who stands under the control of another. And so that's where you get the word hypostatic. Hypostatic simply means that Jesus Christ became the God-man. He was under the control of the Father. And so we're going to look now at some points related to the hypostatic union. I feel like that you need to look at this verse carefully. I'd like to go back and preach all the preceding verses, but I'm not going to take time to do that. The Word, this is Christ, became flesh. If you remember the service we had just a little while ago, we said that when deity came on the scene, when Christ was born, deity spoke and said, sacrifice and offerings you do not require of me, but a body, B-O-D-Y, you gave me. What we tried to emphasize in the previous service was that this is deity speaking, and deity speaking is saying that I'm here in the flesh. I'm the escutcheon. I'm the identification mark. And I'm here on purpose. I've come for the purpose of living my life sinless, dying on the cross, paying the sin's penalty, going to the cross to pay for the sins of every person in this room, every person who ever lived. That's the reason why we have John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so Jesus Christ is God's Son. He was identified with mankind, is identified with mankind. He came for the specific purpose of dying on the cross for you and for me. So, hypo, hupo, He stands under. And that's the meaning of the word hypostatic. He stands under the power of God. He is the Son of God. He came to die on the cross for the sins of the world. Now, with that in mind, let me give you quickly 10 points on that word, hypostatic union. What does that mean? I've tried to give you a definition. Now, we're going to define it a little bit better. It's a term used to describe how God the Son, Jesus Christ, took on a human nature, yet remained fully God at the same time. Now, I know that's a long sentence, but I want you to see that when Jesus Christ was born, he was in the flesh, so we have humanity, but we also have the continuation of deity. So we have deity and humanity in one person. Now, there's not a mixture of humanity and deity. They are separate and apart, but they're in the same person. So if you were to draw a triangle and let this represent deity, you could draw a line down the center, and on one side you could put deity, and on the other side you could put humanity, if you want to picture it like that. So the word hypostatic, H-Y-P-O-S-T-A-T-I-C, is the word which means that we're describing God and the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who took upon himself human nature, yet he remained God at the same time. So I want you to be sure that you get that thought in your mind as we make our way through these 10 points. Number 2, Jesus has always been God. Now, I know that that's a simple statement, but it's profound. Jesus Christ has always been God. Now, what I'd like for you to do is to turn in your Bibles to the 8th chapter of the book of John. And we're going to look down at verse 58. John chapter 8, verse 58. Now, let me just remind you here that we have an emphasis upon Abraham. It says, your father Abraham, this is verse 56, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, this is a reference back to Abraham, and he was talking about your father Abraham. And then it says, the Jews therefore said to him, you're not yet 50 years old. And how have you seen Abraham? Now, I want you to see that. But now I want you to see the answer that came, which is verse 58. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, you got that? In other words, what Jesus is saying here, before Abraham was born, I existed. All right, keep that in mind. Now, go to chapter 10. And this passage of Scripture we've all memorized. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture where it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. This is verse 27. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. Then verse 29, my Father who has given them me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now look, if you will, please, at verse 30. Jesus is now saying, I and my Father are one. Now you folks are listening carefully, and let me show you something. This is saying that before Jesus Christ was born, he existed. Jesus Christ, before he was born, he existed. Then it says, I and my Father are one. All right, let's draw a triangle now again and put up here at the top, deity one, that's God. Deity two, that's Christ. And deity three, the Holy Spirit. So we have deity one, deity two, deity three. That's simple, isn't it? All right, now let me say that deity one up here, God, has all of these magnificent attributes and characteristics. So we have sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. You know all of those. That belongs to the Father. All right, let's go to deity two. Deity too has all the same attributes, characteristics of the Father. Sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. I'm naming these because I know you know them and you can name them back to me, but I want to rehearse them so that you can just remember. Then we have Deity 3, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has the same attributes, same characteristics as Deity 1, the same characteristics as Deity 2. Sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, what else? Omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. I may have missed some, but that's okay because you were listening. So I want you to see that Deity 2 now, we classify him as the pre-existent Christ. Now listen carefully. If I say pre-existent Christ, that means that there would be a time when he would be classified as the existent Christ. Here he is, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, pre-existent Christ. Then we have Deity 2, the pre-existent Christ, coming to the earth to become the existent Christ. This is what is known as God in the flesh. This is what is known as the hypostatic union. You got it? That's so simple and yet so profound. So John 8:58 says, I and my Father are one. Before Abraham was, I am. John 10:30, my Father loves you, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the same. And the scripture says, I and my Father are one. Now, if you got points 1 and 2, that means what comes after 2? 3. All right. My, you folks are sharp. At the incarnation, at the time that we see the verse that we studied in the previous session, Jesus Christ becomes flesh. At the incarnation, Jesus became a human being. That's our verse. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the emphasis there is on Christ. And it's emphasizing the means of communication. Jesus is the Word. And it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, if you're getting all of this, let's go on. Number 4, the addition of the human nature to the divine nature is Jesus, the God-man. All right, we've seen the pre-existent Christ. Now Jesus Christ is born. Deity speaks in Hebrews chapter 10. A body you've given me, he says. So now, on the earth, we have Jesus Christ, the God-man, which means he's all God, he's all man. He has the characteristics of God, which I named to you 3 times, and he has the characteristics of man. Number 5, this means that one person is fully God and fully man. Very simple, but yet profound. Number 6. These two natures, human and divine, are inseparable. We've already said, here is the triangle. Here's the one person. Here's the God-man. And we have the characteristics of deity on the one hand, the characteristics of humanity on the other hand. One person. These two natures, human and divine, are inseparable. Jesus will forever be God. Jesus Christ will forever be the God-man. Fully God, fully human, two distinct natures in one person. You talk about beautiful. You talk about magnificent. Jesus Christ, God's Son, Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to the earth to do what no other person could do. There's not another person who has all the characteristics that Jesus Christ has and had. In other words, the humanity of Christ, perfect, sinless, pure, undefiled, the only one qualified to die on the cross for the sins of the world. He did that. That's the reason why there's an emphasis in the Word of God on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Two natures, human, divine, inseparable. Jesus Christ forever will be the God-man. Have you thought about it? He is our great high priest. And as born-again believers, we are individual priests. We must realize that. What God has done for us is that we've believed in Him, we've been born into His kingdom, and we are individual priests. The veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, opening up, making accessible the throne for every individual. No person is excluded. Not every person will accept. Not every person will believe. But the biblical subject of reconciliation is a biblical subject of reconciliation designed for everyone. Not saying that everyone will accept, but it says the design has been provided for everyone. For God so loved the world that He gave His only born of its kind Son to give Himself for the what reason? To die on the cross for the sins of the world. Can you see these two natures? We're talking about the hypostatic union. We're talking about Jesus Christ on the earth in the flesh. Forever the God-man. Forever the God-man. Fully God, fully human. Two distinct natures in one person. Number seven. These two natures, humanity and divinity, are not mixed, but are united without loss of separate identity. We could talk a long time about that, but I want you to get it in your thinking. Two natures, human on one side, divine on the other side. They're not mixed. They're united, though, without the loss of separate identity. Which says, number eight, Jesus Christ existed before He was virgin conceived and born in the human flesh. That's the reason why we gave you John 8:58, before Abraham, I am. That's the reason why we gave you John 10:30, I and the Father are one. Jesus Christ existed before He was virgin conceived and born in human flesh. I think it's oftentimes we don't really realize how great the conception and the virgin conception and birth of Jesus Christ is. Somehow I don't think we really realize what God did and the fact that there's no other person born like that. Virgin conceived, virgin born. And that's the reason why in the book of Hebrews, Deity 2 says, I've come to the earth and You've given Me a body. He's given you and me a body. The real you and me is not the body. The real you and me is the soul and the spirit. I think about this every now and then, and I think I ought to think about it. And perhaps I should tell you so you could think about it. Do you realize that your body is not the real you? Have I said that 10,000 times? I have. You're sitting here today, and the ability that you have to comprehend, understand, see things in the realm of the physical, is not because of your body, even though the eyes are being used, your hearing because you have ears, but there's something far greater than that. What's great about this is that it is not primarily this physical being, this body, that's the real you. Your ability to understand, your ability to comprehend, your ability to hear, your ability to understand these things that I'm saying to you now, that is primarily what is happening in relationship to your soul, not primarily in relationship to your body. All right, let's just say this. Make it very personal. Let's let you die. I know you appreciate me saying that. Let's just say that you die right now. You just keel over and die. What's going to be there? On the pew or on the floor, wherever it is, will be your body, right? Your body. Is that the real you? No. The real you is not your body, not my body. The real you and me is the comprehending part of us, which as a born-again believer is the soul and the spirit. Now, I like to think about this because when I go to funerals and when I deal with people who had loved ones to pass away, I stay with them and I talk with them and I think with them, and it dawns on me once again that this individual, as a born-again believer, is not in that body. I mean, they can make that body beautiful as they want to make it, but let me tell you something, that body, that's not where the person is. That person moves out. The ability to understand, see, comprehend, hear, recognize, that part's moved out. I'm trying to spell this out so slowly for you, not because you're dull, but because I want us to just think about it. The real you and the real me is not your body. The real you and me is your eternal soul. The unsaved person has a soul, so that unsaved person is going to live on forever. The person who is saved is not only soul, but spirit. Spirit makes the ability to understand and appreciate spiritual things. The spirit comes in at the point of redemption, the point of salvation. So a person who is a soul, unsaved, has the ability to see and comprehend. And when they die, they'll still have the ability to see and comprehend, but they will not have what you and I have as born-again believers, because they've not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Because you and I have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we have the ability to comprehend spiritual things. Your body now, but the primary part of you in this auditorium today as a believer is your soul and your spirit. Jesus Christ existed before he was virgin conceived and born in human flesh. Now let's go to 9 and 10, 2 points left. When Jesus Christ was conceived and born, he became a human being in addition to being God. That's our scripture here today. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see how beautiful this is? And our verse says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Greek word for truth is aletheos. Beautiful word indeed. And Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I'm some truth. He says, I am the truth. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways of life. He says, I am the way of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm always amazed when I go to one of the funeral homes here in town. They have on the front of one of their little handbills that they hand out that verse of scripture, but they don't have it correctly presented. What they have is okay. they have Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. Now, that's not the biblical, but it's okay. Jesus is the light. Number 10, Jesus became a human being. And on Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night, we're going to study this. I want you to look. Do I have my bulletin? Would you look, please, at the German translation? It's gorgeous. You've got to see this. Hebrews 2:17, which we'll study Wednesday night. For this reason, must he in all things equal to the brothers become, look at it, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest before God to atone for the sins of the people. Now, what we're going to do is emphasize on Wednesday night the Old Testament and tabernacle and all these wonderful attributes in relationship to the tabernacle. The table of showbread, the brazen altar, all of those things. And we're going to emphasize again the fact that that's a picture and that's a shadow. That's the first. We now have the second. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, came forth out of the grave, ascended to sit at the Father's right hand, and the scripture says, he sat down. You don't sit unless the work has been completed. Oh, you folks are wonderful. Look at this. Jesus became a human being to identify with us, and more importantly, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And I wanted to read all these verses, but I won't do it now. Philippians 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Wow. You need to look that up. Wonderful passage of Scripture. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, thank you so very much for the wonderful blessings of life. We're thankful indeed for the Lord Jesus Christ and his willingness to come to this earth, go to the cross, and to die for the sins of the world. For those who hear this message on the internet, some may have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. May they understand that God loves them and Christ died for them. Not only did he die, but he was buried and came forth out of the grave, victorious over death and hell and sin and the grave. And if they would believe and accept you, you would save them. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Thank you for your wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.